It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We are still here, and we are not afraid. Good morning. This is Barry Hess sitting in for the vacationing Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. And that, of course, is the purpose of the show, is to help you, to help us, to help each other, to declare our independence one more time. It seems that what happened back in 1776 wasn't enough. It didn't last the entire time, and as our founding fathers knew full well, eventually even our system would become corrupted. In the words of Benjamin Franklin, who said, "There, madam, we've given you a republic, if you can keep it." Well, we haven't kept it, and that's something I think that really it goes back to a saying that I used to be annoyed with. But not so much anymore. Now I understand what was said when people said, if you're not outraged, you are not paying attention. And that's what really it's come down to. And I think that's part of the propaganda that has been started by the old media through the Republican Democrat Party in their attempt to control the American people. I think that what they've done is try to distract us so much. I mean, in many ways, that's what the income tax is all about. It's certainly not about money. It's not about revenues, collecting them for the government to operate. In fact, not even one penny of the income tax, the personal income tax, goes toward the provision of services of government. So where's it go? Where's it go? Down the rabbit hole. That's where it goes. It goes into the Federal Reserve and adds to our national debt. It's the most amazing thing. So it's not money. I mean, heck, we just printed up a couple of $1 trillion, and the tax receipts aren't even a quarter of that. So why not just print it all and eliminate the depression? Wait a minute. We do want to eliminate the depression, don't we? I mean, your politician, your favorite politician, who's your favorite because you met him or because you know somebody who knows them, and so you feel semi-obligated to vote for these guys over and over again. We run into such a quandary because once in a while, these socialist creeps who have come in masquerading as Republicans and as Democrats, who have come in and promising you the world, but they never deliver. Have you ever noticed they never deliver? I mean, even the cash for clunkers, dunkers thing. Boy, now we have an equal protections clause problem going on because the people who couldn't organize or hadn't heard of it in time for its short duration, well, they don't get to take advantage of the same $4,500 taxable dollars. Yes, folks, you heard me right. If you get the cash for clunkers thing, that $4,500, that's taxable as income. So you suddenly owe about $1,500 more on your taxes. Woohoo! Aren't you just being led down the primrose path? I mean, it's amazing. You get your hands sticky with that government money, and it's like you can't get it off. It's like getting tar off of your hands or gum out of your hair. It doesn't come out. You got to cut it out. That's the only way, and let it grow back. And sometimes, I have reached the point where, boy, I was the guy who was always preaching, no, we're going to head off a revolution. We're going to make it peaceful. Oh, no, we got to have it. Well, I'm not so sure anymore. It's what's going to happen is going to happen. We just have to be prepared for it. So, folks, be prepared for this show to declare your independence with me, your host, Barry Hess, sitting in for Ernest Hancock.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yee-haw! Welcome to Arizona's welfare school systems. We're going to teach you valuable tricks and talents. Learn how to play the banjo. Whoo, you got a pretty smile, boy. It's pretty amazing around here. I was looking at some of the educational statistics in Arizona, and I am just absolutely aghast. I cannot believe that parents will continue to allow their children to attend these welfare school systems knowing they are subjecting them to an inferior education. And folks, that doesn't sound like something that'll hurt you or beat you or raise welts and black and blue marks. But folks, it will raise some welts on your wallet as you get older. And don't we want our children to be smarter, more competent than we are? Don't we want our children to be better able to handle the problems that they will encounter? Don't we? Or do we really want to dumb them down like so many parents I've seen who literally don't want their kids to get any smarter than them because it's an ego thing? Parents competing with children. And I keep telling people, man, you better be good to your kids. They're your retirement program. Because if you think Social Security is going to be around, hey, I got some swamp land in Arizona. Oh, no, yeah, we moved the Everglades. I mean, hey, if you're going to fall for some of it, you might as well fall for all of it. It's just amazing to me how distorted things have become. And what I was saying before the break is I think that there's such an effort going on. It's trying to confuse people. It's trying to make people agita, trying to get people to be thinking about other things rather than how their government is going. I know that in the course of it all, we're going to find out this whole swine bird flu or the, what'd they call it, the pork fowl flu. That was being politically correct, of course. This whole nonsense of this flu thing, I think that's going to be part of the push saying you need government to protect you. You must subscribe to the welfare healthcare system, which is going to deliver what our welfare school system has delivered, which is going to deliver what our welfare entitlement programs have all delivered. Nothing except more consternation, more hassles, more problems, and you wind up with situations where people, for instance, with this whole insurance debacle for health insurance, you got people who are right on the edge and they can't qualify. Not unless they get rid of all their stuff do they qualify. And yet you have other people with absolutely nothing. They walk into very literally the best insurance program I have ever seen. It's called Access here in Arizona. And I believe it costs us somewhere around $800 to $900 per person on Access. Now that's because it's state run. Let's do a little comparison. What would that same policy cost you through, and I'm not endorsing, but through Blue Cross Blue Shield? About $300 a month. Let's see, 800, and it's actually closer to 9, but okay, we'll say 800 minus 300, you'll see welfare school product, $500 a month we could save per recipient, and we're not doing it? I mean, folks, are we talking economics or are we talking about preserving an administrative process? Because that's really what it comes down to. The same thing with the education. We've got some real good private schools here in Arizona. They have been taken on by people who the only way they get business is to produce a good product. So the parents who have kids who have graduated from some of these schools have something that they realize their little kid is now clear-eyed. They can think. They can critically challenge what they are told. That's why they're sending them to private schools. But here's the catch. Even Brophy, and I will confess, my son did go there to Brophy. But the fact is, you're only talking $5,000-$6,000 a year versus what we are spending through the welfare school system, $12,000-$13,000 a year. Are we in a depression? What's going on? Why haven't the officials responded? Well, it's because they don't care. It's because they don't care at all. I know as I ran a gubernatorial campaign, it used to make them nervous because I said, look, I want our children to be 10 times more competent than I could ever hope to be. and 10 times more intelligent than I could ever hope to be, because they are our retirement program after all. They are the future of America. I take that very, very seriously. And the difference between the Republican Democrat and me in every case was that I was very concerned about the progress of the individual student. They were only concerned about preserving the administrative process of education. I mean, folks, if you think about it, we have over 200 districts. I think it's 214 or 206. It just keeps changing. But it's over 200 districts to educate our youngins through the welfare school system. Now, and they're doing a horrific job of it. I mean, just a horrific job. It's not even funny. It's not something you should say, here, we'll let you have another wind-up, try it again. No, we should be kicking these people out and boiling them in oil for what they have done. They've wrecked a generation. But the reality is if we just stand back and say, how can we achieve better? Because I think it goes back to what Socrates said. He said, speak with me, even argue, but first define your terms. So many times we end up talking past each other because we are defining the words in our own head as we hear them coming from the outside. And it's not always the same definition as the speaker might have or the writer, depending on where you're getting your information. So it's important to understand where people are coming from and what the definitions they are using really are. Because, I've seen full-blown, almost knock-down, drag-out fights and then ultimately find out the two people were talking about the same thing. They were arguing the same side. So, folks, I'm going to urge you to argue the same side. If you'll argue the same side for individual freedom, you and I are going to be simpatico. We're going to be in like Flint. But it's not just you and I. It's you and I. We need our neighbors because an election is not going to do it. We all know there's fraud all over the place in the elections. We need a general education. We need people to come up. And that's one of the good things coming out of this depression. No doubt about it, is that everybody's lifestyle has changed in the last 6 months. Everybody. Now, and I know people in every economic strata. I know people in different social stratas and in the entertainment business. And I'll tell you what, every single person now is thinking about the economy. Because as it filters out, well, they thought they were just ripping off the poor folks in the banks and the American taxpayer with this whole housing thing. Well, now it's not subprimes anymore. Subprimes have become negligible in the whole housing letdown, the defueling of the rocket ship housing in Arizona, for instance. It has gone the other way because now it's prime mortgages that people, and it's not that they can't afford them. No. What's happening is that people are simply walking away. And here's the scenario. And here's an actual situation. A guy I met got a $1.2 million appraisal on his home. And this was a couple of years ago. He very quickly mortgaged it. He refinanced. It was completely paid off. So he got like $800,000. He didn't go 100%. He should have gone 125% LTV if he had really planned it out well. But he just went to like 80% or something. Took $800,000, bought a nice little home beside his parents out in Wisconsin. And they were the ones who gave him this fine home here in Arizona. And so he was going back to take care of them. Good son. Well, he took the $800,000, bought a nice little home, put a real nice investment package together, and bought a couple other little homes for sort of investments to get money coming in. And then he said, bye-bye, bye-bye, and he walked away. And it was funny. He was leaving, and he came down. It was actually on our street. And he came down to say goodbye as he was just finally leaving and told me the story, and he was laughing, and he was all excited about just walking out. I said, don't you worry about your credit. He goes, I got $500,000 in my investment portfolio. What do I need credit for? And he was already at that time, I think he said it was churning out a couple of $1,000 every day for him. He had some Forex thing going. But it was funny. I said, so what are you going to do about the house? He said, well, nothing. And I said, you're just going to walk away? And he goes, yeah, I sold it. And I go, who'd you sell it to? He said, the bank. I got the best price ever from the idiots. And I said, what? And he was just walking away. And that's what he did. It went into foreclosure. That house is being offered for $120,000. And I think they had $240,000 on an offer. A guy came in. This is what's going on in the mortgage world. He came in and offered, I believe, $240,000. Or the price was $240,000. But part of that was a $60,000 kickback to the buyer. That's what he made the seller go out and get the new mortgage and give him $60,000 at the closing table, and then he promptly walked away, and they can't find him. So he made $60,000 faking to buy a $1 million home, or at one time a $1 million home, which I thought was ridiculous in the first place. But folks, there's a lot of chicanery going on in our banking world, and you're seeing all of these banks trying to keep all of their assets. Now, why do they do that? And I hope to be able to get people, I hope John Gleha and Keith McKinney in here. And we want to talk about how these mortgages are being done and how you've been defrauded, even on your mortgage. The chances, at least, are very, very good that that has been the case. For instance, somehow, when you sat down at the closing table to sign over and give a mortgage, in other words, give a lien against your property to the mortgage company, if you read the documents, they'll say they gave you a bunch of money. Well, at that point, they haven't given you a dime, nothing, nada. But yet you sign the papers because you didn't read them and because you didn't question them. And that's the whole point. That's just one of the ideas. Well, what it comes down to is why, if you read further, you'll find out that you are giving clear, warranted title to the new mortgage holder. Now, think about that. How could you possibly give clear title to a mortgage on a house that you don't own? But that's what's going on. And it's coming to roost. Many lawsuits are in right now in play. One just won their house. Maybe you can too. Let's learn together, and we'll see you after the break.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Stop the wall! Now! Good God, hear me sing! Don't put it off another day! Everybody sing! Stop the wall! Now! Don't put it off another day!
Don't put it off another day! Not another day! Didn't Obama promise us that we were going to get out of Iraq, a war we never should have been in? Didn't he promise? Well, oh well, another promise broken. Of the 219 they have identified, that was just another one. But don't get me wrong, it would have been the same with our own Juan McCain. No problemo. You know, these guys are just, they're the same thing. They're just the same thing. It's funny because, you know, when you look at it historically, it's going to be really interesting to see how history writes of Barry Obama there in the White House and what he did. Will he serve as a lesson to us and slap us silly as a people to wake us up to say, look, use your head? I mean, put a competent person in. But so much of what's going on today isn't about competence. It's well, obviously, Barack Obama hasn't served at all. And when he ran in other elections, he did so by being the only person on the ballot. He had his lawyers challenge all of his contestants, the other competitors, to get him off the ballot. So literally with 143 days of experience in politics, of which he neglected so many of the votes, I think 20% of the votes, because he was afraid to vote either yay or nay because it might make somebody mad. So they say, I'm out of town doing important stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. But folks, one of the responses has been these tea parties. Woohoo! Have some tea. Would you like some crumpets? Well, they're not quite that tea party, but they're not quite what they're trying to emulate, the original tea party, which was, of course, back in Boston Harbor by a bunch of white guys dressed up as Indians just trying to make it look like they did it. But it was really about the taxes. And I think they've got the right idea. The only problem I have with these income tax, the tea parties is, and I've talked with the organizers and the heads of it and said, look, you've got no moral basis. All you're talking about is arguing down the amount your government steals from you. That's all you're doing. You're arguing that amount down. I'm here to tell you there is no acceptable level of theft. You can't. There's no moral premise. Steal from us a nickel instead of a dime. Well, isn't that silly? See, I'd rather say, don't steal anything. And folks, that's what I'd like to pay for. I did have the opportunity to speak on April 15th here in Phoenix, Arizona. What ultimately, they pushed me off to the back. I was one of two non-Republicans who spoke. The other was, of course, Ernest Hancock, who is now in the sanitarium, and I believe the meds are kicking in. That would be good. But we spoke, and they saved me to the end because they thought the crowd would peter out. Little did they know, it actually grew. Nobody left. There were over 10,000 people before it was all said and done. And we had a guy named Drew. He was there. He was filming, and he seized the moment and did a little video. I'd like to play a clip and see what you think of the response at the Tea Party when a little common sense is injected into the, please only tax me a little bit.
And on this nonpartisan note, I'm going to introduce next to you Barry Hess, former candidate for the Arizona governorship from the Libertarian Party.
Well, thank you, Tom. You know, when they told me that if I came down here today, I'd get my name on a watch list. So what did I do? I got dressed and I came down. When you realize the whole idea of this protest is about taxes, it comes down to what is America and what is freedom. Because it all comes down to property and your person. It's your property. Not no new taxes. That's for the wussies in the crowd. I'm talking about no taxes. And if Congress had half a lick of sense, they would eliminate the income tax and end this depression today. You know, the truth is that probably the single most self-destructive blow ever struck this country was an imposition of what they call the personal income tax. And it's not just because of rogue agents or a whole organization designed to destroy marriages, businesses, families, lead individuals to suicide. No, there's even a deeper reason, a practical one. It took our mothers out of our homes and left our latchkey children to the mercy of Jerry Springer to teach them morals and values. And see what we've got. You know, it's been said a long time ago that the tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots. And that doesn't bring a lot of solace when you realize it may well be your turn to water the tree. But what I would suggest above all things is if our Congress continues in this direction and does not realize we just want to be left alone. But we should remind them that there are 10 amendments, and probably the most crucial was the First Amendment. But let's let them know clearly and loudly that we know the Second Amendment was purposely placed as backup in case the First Amendment couldn't get the job done. Thank you very much.
And we'll be back right after the break.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back here. This is Barry Hess sitting in for the vacationing Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. And we're just generally trying to stimulate the mind, to get you thinking that things are not always as they appear. Propaganda is all around us. And folks, propaganda is not a bad word all by itself. No, don't get me wrong. It just means people getting out their point of view. But it's come to mean something completely different. Like so many other words that have been taken over, words that have been changed. I mean, for instance, the word liberal, which is really kind of a funny word. I know I was speaking with the Minutemen at a function of theirs, and I mentioned that we were liberals. Wow, you could have heard a pin drop, and some looks of disgust on some of the little old ladies was just, it was kind of fun. I was hoping for that reaction. Actually, I was underimpressed because only about four people got mad at me the whole thing at the Minutemen. And boy, I was looking for bigger numbers than that, but out of a couple of hundred or whatever. But it was really an interesting experience. When we realized that, or when they realized, and let me explain what I meant by that, we are called classical liberals. Now they added a classical in front of us. It didn't used to be there. But the word liberal started out. Now get this. This is how it was defined. It meant you were someone that liberally construed the Constitution in favor of individual rights. That's where the word liberal came from, in the political spectrum. But now what is it today? Liberal. Let's see. It was such a good word. It was such a good tag that liars came in and took over. Liar people. That's why we call them liars. You can't, you know, bitch about them lying because that's what they do. They're liars. It's like cutter offers on the freeway. You know, you can wave at them all you want, but they're cutter offers on the freeway. That's what they do. You have to accept it. Well, these liberals came in and literally planned to overtake the word liberal. From the libertarians, the good, righteous, white hat wearing libertarians who don't bow, who don't excuse and don't compromise. Well, the liberals, the new liberals, are now just the opposite. They're people who construe the Constitution completely against the individual. They've turned it 180 degrees. So the libertarians, because a lot of us are pretty pig-headed, we don't want to give up our word. That's our word. We're the liberals. And it's a good thing. Unfortunately, the old media, the propaganda ministers for the Republican Democrat Party have tried to usurp it and act like they were us. And they're not. So many liberals. I remember when Charles Goyette got on to Air America. And later, Ernest Hancock and even I all had shows over there. But when they first came up and hired, they said, you people, after a couple of shows, they kind of got the feel of what we were about. But they liked us because we were libertarians, at least in their perverted sense. Well, when Charles Goyette got a hold of them, well, they had, what, you don't want Social Security? You don't want health care? You don't want entitlement? What kind of liberal are you? Well, they were a little flummoxed. And the thing was that the people who listened to liberal radio actually embraced the show. He was the most popular there. And then Ernie after him. And when I filled in, they had to take me off the air about 6 weeks before the last election because we were talking a little too much truth about Barack. I mean, they kept saying, we got to unite, got to get behind him, got to. And I kept saying, who's this? Who? Why? And I knew it was interesting because I had predicted one of the big issues was going to be his birth certificate. And now that he's gone to such extraordinary extremes, some people claim I know it's in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some people say he's now breached the $1 million mark. What am I talking about? In hiding his actual birth certificate. Now, folks, come on. It's one thing to play a little game and say, I'm not going to show it to you. It's another thing to spend $1 million to hide it. And that's all he's got to do. These birthers who are out there who are just saying, show it to us. What's the big deal? Just show it to us. And he won't show it. Now, folks, you've got to be suspect. I don't care how hardcore you are or how much you bow down and kiss this guy's feet. You have at least got to question his integrity. Why doesn't he put this matter to bed? And now some of the mainstream people are jumping in. Even Trent Franks, one of our congressmen, he saw the value of it and he said, well, he might start an investigation through Congress, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's never going to happen because we know Trent Franks, but the words are good. It's a good idea. It got him a little bump. And so many people think that once the politician says, I might do this, they automatically assume it has been done. It hasn't been done. It's not going to be done. These guys are a bunch of wussies. And they're not going to because it might call into question, what do we do? Does that make Joe Biden our president? Well, he wasn't the leader of the ticket, so there would be some subterfuge involved there. There'd be a major question of whether or not the entire ticket was valid. And that's something we've got to consider. So would that make Juan McCain our new presidente? I don't know. Would it make Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. Maybe we can call Newt Gingrich out of retirement. I don't know. Something. Maybe Bob Barr. Bob Barr's not doing anything because he sure as hell didn't do anything with the Libertarian nomination. But it's just something that is going to throw us into a quandary. And there are people who actually say, don't bring this up because we don't need more confusion on the international scene. We've got the swine flu. We got your terrorists. We got your all kinds of systemic economic problems. Don't bring it up. It's going to confuse people. But folks, I'm here to tell you that's what the old media does. That's what the propaganda does. They are trying to confuse you and to keep you busy. That's like the income tax we were talking earlier. You know, the income tax is just there to keep you busy and to have you have a reason to keep your head down. That's why we have the IRS. They are the internal organization for the Federal Reserve. And many people don't know they have no relationship to you whatsoever, and yet they instill fear in everyone. And just like I saw in the Soviet Union, these people were brilliant. They were normal people, but they were afraid to bring their good ideas to the officials because if they rock the boat. And people say, well, why? If it was progress, why wouldn't they? Well, see, not everybody's interested in progress. And let me give you an example. Detroit. Detroit has all these outdated mechanized lines, these assembly lines, that are all geared up to do business one way, and they don't want to change. Those dies cost a lot of money for the tooling. All the equipment and stuff costs a lot of money. Well, the guys who own that, they want to recoup their investment. Say they put $100 million into their mechanized lines, and now we've got a new innovation on the market, and they don't want it, not because it's not good for America, not because it's not good for them, but because it's bad for their business. It means they've got to change something. And that's something we've really got to be afraid of. And I'll just give you a quick idea of what has gone on in the past. For instance, around 1900, there was a most powerful union in this country. It was called the Buggy Whip Manufacturers Union, so goes the story. But the Buggy Whips Manufacturers story, sorry, folks, I was the idiot. I left my phone on in there. Okay, now I'm apologizing to the guys in the control booth. We didn't know where the sound was coming from. But the buggy whip unions came in, and they were literally buggy whip makers, but because there were horses over here. Around the turn of the century, an automobile was invented in Europe. The Buggy Whip Manufacturers Union, so goes the story, did everything they could to keep the automobile from being imported into America. Now, it was going to be good for America. We knew that. It was great new technology. We knew that. And yet they fought against it. Why? Because of the paychecks. That was all. Instead of taking their membership and saying, let's retrain to build these newfangled automobiles, these horseless carriages, no. No, they hung tough. Interesting thing happened. Literally every member of that union went bankrupt, and every one of the management became multi-millionaires. Huh. Imagine that. That's how the game is played. And I just wanted to bring up how these unions have destroyed this country. There is a point, and once you start paying a union official, that's when you destroy it. I mean, it's one thing to have an unpaid liaison who is there as just another member of the team who is the one reporting back what everybody else is experiencing. But then when they get paid, see, they've got to justify what they're doing. Good example. You work at McDonald's and you get splashed by the deep fry oil. But you say, hey, look, Ronald, listen, buddy, you got to get us a splatter screen. And if you don't, me and my buddies, all of us who work the shift, we're all going to quit. Now, see, that's a good union. And of course, Ronald, realizing he's got an economic interest, he's going to get you a new splatter screen. Here's what happens. You got a union. Well, now you've got an outside person who doesn't work behind the counter, doesn't know really what's going on, but only talks to those people. And then he goes in and says, don't worry. You need a splatter screen? I'll go talk to Ronald. Well, they go behind closed doors because they don't want you to see. They're playing checkers or something back there, or they're not even talking. They're just making it look like the door is closed. They might even play recordings of people screaming and yelling and throwing things in the room just to make it look good, just like on those sitcoms that we see. Well, at some point, they've got to come out and they're going to say, all right, hey, I got you. We got half a splatter screen. I'm going to go back in and take another bite of the apple from Ronald. See, no negotiations have really taken place. They're lying. Well, then they get back in the room and they go, okay, Ronald. Ronald says, hey, I'm going to give you the splatter screen. Will you please take it? And they're going, no, not yet. We got to drag this out for a couple more weeks. See, what they're trying to do is justify why you're paying them separately. That's where unions go bad. The minute you pay a union official, game's on, because now they're working for their interest, the union's interest, and not yours. And don't ever confuse the union's interest with its membership's interest. So we've got a lot of stuff to consider these days, trying to keep our heads clear amidst confusion. And to help us do that, we have a special guest in the studio here today. He is going to be joining us and adding his expertise and his experience to us, so that he's gonna enlighten you, folks. So get your pen and paper. Oh, and by the way, I want you to write down the number, by the way, because I'm going to have you call in a little later. 800-313-9443. So make sure, because we're going to get you to weigh in on this. Meanwhile, let's go to our guest, Mr. Jet Lacey. Jet, are you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. You sound good on the radio.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a little, after going to the wrestling last night, you know, with you, my voice is a little hoarse. It's my first time, but I feel pretty good.
Yep. Well, Jet went to the, we went to the wrestling match last night, WWE, SmackDown, and CBE and all that kind of stuff, had a raucous time, and we got Jet in the ring, and then, well, a little bit of blood, but nothing terrible, but it was a lot of fun,
wasn't it? Yeah, thank you again for that. That was great.
Thank some of the wrestlers. They're good friends, and they always throw us some tickets when they're in town, and great people.
Absolutely.
And a lot of good conversation the night before, and that's just one of the fun things you get to do, and it was really interesting last night, wasn't it? It was a packed house.
It was.
I mean, I don't think I've been to several of the events, but that was the most packed I had ever seen it. It's like there was nothing else to do on Tuesday night in Phoenix, and people of all stripes and colors showed up, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody really enjoyed the show. It's a great show. And I know that you were giggling like the village idiot there for a good part of the time.
I often do that, though, you know, on numerous levels. So I don't know. But it was my first time going to a wrestling event. The show was fantastic. You know, the actual show that they put on was much better than I had even anticipated.
It's scripted better than many of the TV shows. And I don't mean scripted, folks. I'm not here to say it's fake. But there is some scripting of the skits and stuff, and they're so orchestrated. Man, I wish we had those people in government, right? Yeah. I mean, they tore down, they struck the set immediately. I mean, in half an hour, everything was gone. Out of AWA or whatever it's called now. What is it called now?
I don't even remember. They changed the names all the time of these stadiums now. I don't know.
I call it AWA.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It'll always be America West to me. It's U.S.
right.
Airways Center.
U.S.
now.
Airways Center. Yeah, that's what it is. I just don't pay attention to that. Is Bob still the same? Bank One Ballpark?
No, it's Chase Field now.
Chase Field.
Yeah, David Rockefeller, you know.
All right. Well, the banks get to own everything.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of that old quote where I think Jefferson was saying, at some point, if we allow this despotism to continue, that our children will wake up and their land will be owned out from under them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it was if you allow the banks to control the money supply, that the children of the people that conquered this land will wake up literally homeless. That was the words that he used.
Exactly.
Homeless in the land that their fathers conquered.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? And here we see prophecy come to pass.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because I get a lot of words. I happen to be a Christian, but I get a lot of Christians who have kind of this real strange Christianity. And we spoke with a fellow, Gary, yesterday. Nice guy. But he was making a distinction between being a Christian and between a Judeo-Christian. I didn't really want to get into the distinction he was making, but it does puzzle me. A Judeo-Christian, in his belief, was the nice guys who were saying, just leave other people alone if they don't bother you. And yet he chose to be a Christian, and I'm kind of thinking he had some reservations on that end of it. Maybe that gives him the allowance to go out and scream and yell and call other people names and stuff, and not that he does, but there are some people who do take advantage of that.
Well, if you stop being conflicted in your life, you sort of stop learning. You know, and at least his mind was still working, so it gives you something to work with.
Exactly. Yeah, he seemed like a fairly reasonable guy. He was just hanging on to the old club. I know when I left the Republican Party, I think it was like in 1980, that Ronald Reagan actually called me a libertarian. I thought he was calling me a name. But he said, no, it's because you don't compromise on your principles, not one iota. And here was the beautiful part. The guy was so great in his words. He said, because you hold government to the same standard of moral accountability as you would an individual. That's how he defined a libertarian. Well, yeah. I'm like, and the problem is what? But it took me literally 5 years to pull myself away from that club. I had called myself a Republican. I was actually proud of it at the time. I had pulled myself out of that club. It was a matter of conscience. The only reason I had to finally realize that when I got into politics, it was to affect change. I wasn't looking for a social club. I wasn't looking for an intellectual debate society. No, I was looking for to really let's bring back and keep and preserve America and all of her richness and fineness. And ultimately, when I said I have now registered as a libertarian, I am no longer a Republican. Oddly, about 80% of my really good friends, going to be best friends forever, about 80% of them said I was a sellout. And I literally haven't talked to many of them since then.
Wow.
I was a sellout. And I said, no, the party was the sellout. They left their principles. They left everything behind them that made them distinct. In fact, they used to be called Republicans. Mm-hmm. And that was because the emphasis was supposedly on the republic part, the body of laws that are, until changed, they are the law. That's what we can relax in that confidence in having a great republic like America. Mm-hmm. And then you saw the split, and of course, the Democrat Party, and they hate when you say the Democrat Party, because they'd like you to say the Democratic Party. But they're not democratic. They're a bunch of despots. But see, that was how they tried to fool the American people. One said we're for republic. One said we're for the democratic side of that republic. Mm-hmm. It's all a big lie. They're both in bed together. I mean, these kids have got to be cross-eyed and play your banjo music.
A two-headed hydra. That's what I call it.
Exactly. Well, we'll be back to talk about this just a little bit more, and I promise I will let Jet talk a little more than Ernie lets his guest talk. But we'll get back right after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the show. Get your pencils and paper. Call us at 800-313-9443.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And that's why they call me Agent 00 Soul, baby. Agent 00 Soul. They call me 00 Soul, baby. I'm Agent 00 Soul.
I'm Agent 00 Soul. Here on the Jazz Chat. Wait a minute. What radio station are we on? No, I'm kidding. That's funny. 00 Soul. We're here. This is Barry Hess sitting in for the vacationing Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. Here with our guest, Jet Lacy. Jet, we interrupted you. Please go on.
Oh, it's all good. I was talking with you. You know, I've listened about all the things that you were talking about today, really all tie in together about co-opting different things like parties. It could be from co-opting the rainbow, you know, by the gay groups. I like the rainbow. I would like to be able to fly a rainbow flag in front of my house, but it sure would paint a picture as to who I was, which wouldn't necessarily be representative of my political or sexual feelings.
Like that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing.
I don't think. I live right here, and it's funny, I tell people it's the fourth gayest zip code in Arizona. I saw it in the newspaper.
Really?
And this is where I live. And you know.
Now, how do they know that stuff? That's so ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know how people's sexuality ever came into the political spectrum at all, except that as a group, they did unify. Yay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good for them. They got some strength and they've done some things. But now, doggone it. I'll tell you a quick story about that, but I'll tell you now. I remember being at a big fancy whoop-de-ding thing over at the Biltmore, and they had a big thing. It was by the gay, lesbian, it was a whole bunch of a series of alphabet soup thing. I don't really know all the meanings to them, but they were the gay groups and stuff, and there were people standing up for their sexual rights. I appreciate that. one of the guys came over and said, hey, you're all about individual rights. And I said, yes. And he said, well, then you've got our vote, our block. And I said, well, wow, thank you very much. About 20 minutes later, the guy comes sashaying over with a couple of his buddies on his arm, and he was showing off to him. I knew exactly what was coming from the way they walked up to me. And he said, oh, by the way, I just wanted to be sure you will support gay marriage, right? And I said, absolutely not. And he was shocked. I mean, literally shocked. He didn't know what to say. I said, I don't want government involved in anybody's marriage at all. This is under the 10th Amendment. We need government to recognize us and treat us equally as individuals, regardless of our interpersonal contracts that we make at all points. And even in the hetero side. Well, 20 minutes later, and so he huffed off, by the way, and said they were going to give their support to Janet, and they did, and that's his prerogative, of course. Go across the street to the Esplanade, and I'm there in one of the fancy radio stations talking to one of the real Christian guys, and it was just a fluke. Now, he was on there, and he thought he was going to make sport of me. Turned out to be actually a nice guy, Andrew Tallman, I think his name was. Nice guy with some reason to him, but he was going to make sport of me. But then we got on, and he was saying, oh, by the way, you will support the Protect America Now Amendment, right? The anti-gay change to the amendment. I said, absolutely not. In fact, as a Christian, I am offended that any pastor would forward this notion to aggressively go out and use the nastiness of government to try to enforce their morality. And the people called in. Oh, my gosh, it was incredible because they were going, wow, we never thought about it that way. I was going, your pastor's leading you astray. Right. If they're telling you to support this kind of nonsense, you should be saying treat people as equals, leave government, leave our religious spirituality to us. Because each of us have our own definition, I'm convinced. The people who just don't have a belief, they're the ones who scare me. Right. But folks, it looks like, wow, that was a short thing. And Jet, we're going to get back on. But we'll be back after the break. This is Barry Hess sitting in for the vacationing Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence.